Good morning. I'm Justin Schroeder, one of the sabbatical ministers here at Unity Church, and it is wonderful to be with you this morning. I want to extend a special welcome to you if you are here for the first time visiting us. We are glad that you're here. We hope that you find Unity Church to be a place which helps you to find and to keep your balance, a place which nourishes you and inspires you to lead a loving life of integrity, service, and joy. After the service, you are all invited to join us in the parish hall for refreshments and fellowship. There you can stop by our welcome table for more information about Unity Church or becoming a member, as well as explore our book stall. You can also visit our children and adult libraries after every service. Those are open and available to you on the second floor of the Elliott Wing. I would also draw your attention to your insert in your order of worship. This week at Unity has a number of events listed for the upcoming week, including our Wellspring Wednesday program, which has dinner at 6 o'clock, followed by a short chapel service, and then a number of classes. Our featured speaker this Wednesday is Stephanie Kanunen, the founder of Need Magazine, based out of Minneapolis, a wonderful magazine that is very promising as far as connecting people with projects around the United States and the world that require humanitarian assistance. There are free magazines available at the Wellspring Wednesday table. I also want to let you know that if you ever miss a sermon, as some of us do occasionally, you can listen to it online from Unity's homepage. Some of you know this already, but we've been podcasting for a number of months now. So if you miss a sermon, go to the webpage, click on Listen to Sermons Now, and you can hear what you've missed, which is not to say you shouldn't be here on Sunday on Sunday mornings. I also want to let you know that the Wellspring Wednesday cooking team would love to have volunteers this Tuesday evening after 6 o'clock to help prepare honey cakes and other things for the Passover meal on Wednesday. Also, next Sunday, after each of the services, we'll have an Easter egg hunt. The times and specifics are in your order of worship, but if you have children, please let them know there will be an Easter egg hunt out on the green space. The children and youth choirs from All Souls Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma, will be here 2 weeks from today, and many of them are looking for homestays. Again, this information is in your order, in your insert this week at Unity, but if you are able to host a family or a couple of those kids coming up from my former congregation where I served for 5 years, I would be grateful, and they also would be grateful. I also want to let you know that David Corton, a Morgan Forum speaker, will be here April 14th. That's a Saturday. Look for more information on that. And if you're interested in the Transylvania Pilgrimage, the deadline for that is coming up. The deadline is April 15th, and you can find out more information in the parish hall at the partner church table. And finally, just a reminder that there are notes available for those who are mentioned in the Embracing Meditation for the joys and celebrations and sorrows in people's lives. If you want to write a note to someone who's mentioned, cards are available at the pastoral care team table, and then the church will send those on your behalf. Whew. That's a lot of announcements. Next Sunday, Teresa Schwartz and I will lead our Easter service. Our services are at 9, 11, and 4:30. And finally, at the conclusion of this morning's service, Dick Bugs and I would love to greet you at the Portland Avenue doors. Once again, I welcome all of you to Unity Church.
humble. She doesn't speak yet, but she says a lot. That's our 10-month-old granddaughter, Annika Joel, number one. I was watching her last week one day, and I picked her out of her little jump seat and put her on the floor right next to the CD player. I pushed the button. Music came out. She got up on her knees, lifted her head with a radiant smile, started shaking her booty to the rhythm. Everybody in the room said, "Isn't that cute?" I knew one thing. Actually, I knew two things in that moment. I knew that had I been the one on the floor shaking my booty, they probably wouldn't have said, "Isn't he cute?" I also knew in that moment that shaken to the music, in its unlimited manifestations, might be exactly what you and I need to do as a daily spiritual practice if we are to lead a less deformed and more gracious life. Come, let us worship together. Please read with me now, as printed in your order of service, the responsive reading, Remember. Remember the sky you were born under. Know each of the stars' stories. Remember your birth, how your mother struggled to give you form and breath. You are the evidence of her life and her mother's and hers.
Remember the earth whose skin you are. Red earth, black earth, yellow earth, white earth, brown earth, we are earth.
Remember the plants, trees, animal life, all who have their tribes, their families, their stories too. Talk to them, listen to them. They are alive poems.
Remember the wind, remember her voice. She knows the origin of this universe. Remember you are all people, and all people are you. Remember you are this universe, and this universe is you.
Remember, all is in motion, is growing, is you. Remember, language comes from this. Remember, the dance language is, that life is. Remember.
Every time we gather together, we set aside time to expand the caring ministry of this congregation. Together, we recognize the cycle of life and death, the circle of love, compassion, and witness that permeates this place. This morning, we celebrate the life and mourn the death of Betty Solo, sister of Nancy Solo Taylor. Betty passed away last Tuesday, and her memorial service was held here yesterday. Let us keep Nancy and her family, James, Jessica, and Molly, in our prayers this morning. Let us also hold in our prayers this morning Karen Pike, who has been recently diagnosed with cancer. And let our thoughts and hearts be with those members of Unity Church who are in New Orleans building and rebuilding houses there and who will be returning soon. May they return to us safely. This is also a morning of celebration, and we celebrate with Lynn Burton, who has just recently passed the Ministerial Fellowship Committee as she prepares for ministry in our association. And finally, our prayers are with Alexia Whitecrow, whose grandfather recently passed away. Let us keep all of these people and their joys and their sorrows in our prayers this morning. Our hearts are also with all those who live with grief or chronic pain, for illnesses seen and unseen, those who live with addiction, those who live with mental illness, those who care for family members in ill health, and those who knowingly face their final days with dignity and courage. May we stand in compassionate solidarity with our neighbors all around the world who suffer in the midst of habitual violence. May they and we be instruments of a lasting peace. I now invite you to share the names of those people that you would like to celebrate, remember, memorialize, or hold in the embrace of this community. For the names which have been spoken and the names which remain in the silent sanctuary of our hearts, may we be forever grateful for the lives that have touched ours. Will you join me in prayer and meditation? Eternal source of love and life, despite the pain and grief and fear that so often moves through our lives, we give thanks for being. Despite our racing minds and our unfinished to-do lists, we give thanks for being here. Despite the challenges, heartbreak, and hard work of being in community, we give thanks for being here together. In gratitude, we pray. Amen. This morning, our offering will go to the Stepping Stone Youth Theater. And as many of you know, they are renovating this building just at the end of, I gotta get oriented here, of Holly on Victoria, where they will be this summer. And they will use our space as they continue to move into that space. But the Stepping Stone Youth Theater Program is a wonderful organization that has existed for many years that allows youth to creatively and actively engage in theater and explore that creative part of their person. I hope that you'll give generously to our offering this morning. Will the ushers please come forward? May this offering be a blessing and a gift to those who receive it.
Hey. Our first reading this today is The Summer of Black Widows by the Native American writer Sherman Alexie. The spiders appeared suddenly after that summer rainstorm. Some people still insist the spiders fell with the rain, while others believe the spiders grew from the damp soil like weeds with 8 thin roots. The elders knew the spiders carried stories in their stomachs. We tucked our pants into our boots when we walked through fields of fallow stories. An Indian girl opened the closet door and a story fell into her hair. We lived in the shadow of a story trapped in the ceiling lamp. The husk of a story museumed on the windowsill. Before sleep, we shook our blankets and stories fell to the floor. A story floated in a glass of water left on the kitchen table. We opened doors slowly and listened for stories. The stories rose on hind legs and offered their red bellies to the most beautiful Indians. Stories in our cereal boxes. Stories in our firewood. Stories in the pockets of our coats. We captured stories and offered them to the ants, who carried stories back to their queen. 12 stories per acre. We poisoned the stories and gathered their remains with broom and pan. The spiders disappeared suddenly after that summer lightning storm. Some people still insist that the spiders were burned to ash, while others believe the spiders climbed the lightning bolts and became a brand new constellation. The elders knew the spiders had left behind bundles of stories. Up in the corners of the old house, we still find those small white bundles, and nothing, neither rocks, nor wind, nor water can bring them down. I say to you, return then, fly home, your feathered wings outstretched, for you have escaped the cage. Abandon your stagnant pool for the running waters of life. Rumi.
So, friends, every day do something that won't compute. Laugh. Be joyful, even though you have considered all the facts. Be like the fox who makes more tracks than necessary, some in the wrong direction. Wendell Berry.
I wouldn't mind being a rose in a field of roses. Fear has not yet occurred to them, nor ambition. Reason they have not yet thought of. Neither do they ask how long they must be roses, and then what, or any other foolish question. Mary Oliver.
Trickster has many names. Coyote, Mercury, Hermes, and more. Trickster is the creative idiot, the wise fool, the gray-haired baby, the cross-dresser. Trickster is the embodiment of ambiguity and ambivalence, doubleness and duplicity, contradiction and paradox. Lewis Hyde.
You have woken up late. You look perplexed and lost. Do not turn to your books looking for knowledge. Pick up your flute and let your heart play. Rumi.
Oh, I got a zoo. I got a menagerie inside my ribs, under my bony head, under my red valve heart. And I got something else. It is a man-child heart, a woman-child heart. It came from God knows where. It is going to God knows where. For I am the keeper of the zoo. I come from the wilderness. Robert Frost.
If I am suspicious of my body and believe that feelings must be severely disciplined, the chances are that I will be sympathetic with a social system in which law and order are the highest values. Law rather than novelty, necessity rather than possibility, will be seen as dominant. Sam Keen.
Too often, mindless manipulation of what is substitutes for the art of living. Human beings are on earth to share being, to fall ever more deeply in love with being. Matthew Fox.
Good morning. We have been invited to share music with joy and a sense of freedom, and thus we are going to invite you to join in to this hymn in that manner. If you will turn to hymn 368 and stay seated, and as that is happening, I'll invite the Unity Choir members to come forward onto the steps. Let's put basses right in the middle where you usually are, and the altos that are singing with them right in front, and the other parts equally on either side. My worst nightmare, of course, is that no one would come forward. What I'd like you to do, if possible, as you look at the hymn, is realize that this can very quickly be taken off the book. As you can see, there's only one word that changes as we go to verse 2. We change from faith to hope to love to joy. So I invite you to cast the hymnal off, not literally, but when you're able to. And what I'd like to do is this, let you decide what part you would like to sing, either the top line of music or the bottom line of music. And what I'm going to do is start by asking our basses and altos who are singing the bottom line to join with me on that and let you kind of hum in your pews there and see if that feels good to you so that you could claim that as your part if you wish. So we're just going to go through the bottom line of the hymn. Here we go. And now there's a trick here too. I want to put in your mind right away, and that is that as soon as one verse is done, we immediately go back to the top. So this part is really under quite a lot of stress. We must be immediately ready to start that next verse. So here we go. 1, 2, 3. Was good. I heard you go back. That was really good. Now there's one thing we're going to add, and this will apply to both parts, actually. You notice there's that little irritating rest right before those last three words of faith within, or it'll be hope within, or love within. And the way we keep that straight is putting a clap right in front of it. So on that bottom line, those last two measures we have, sing to the power of the faith within, okay? So I'm going to ask our choir to lead that. Now, if you're claiming that part, would you join with us? Even if you're not sure if you're claiming that part, if you'd like to try it, please join with us. Here we go. 1, 2, 3. That was very impressive. All right, now the standard has been laid down here. Can we have the top voices? Now, just so we kind of keep track with where we are, because that part we just sang kind of is the one that gives us our place in the song, I'm going to play that quietly, though those part people can just relax at the moment. I'll play that so the top line sees where they come in. So, folks who want to try the top line, here we go. Excuse me, you hear one, two, three, and... I'm encouraged. How many of you were singing? All right. Let's add a few more and make me hysterically happy. Okay, here we go. Top line. Voices. One more time. One, two, three. Excellent. We're ready to venture forth. Both parts, claim your part. The only thing that doesn't work is if you claim no part at all. Okay, so be brave. Thank you for trying this, and let's have fun. This time we do go right back for each verse. All right, enjoy it, move to the music, and enjoy it. Here we go. One, two, three. Choir.
Well, we're getting a little wild and crazy today. And I'd like to add to that. But I want to share these words with you first. Owa.
Owa.
Tagu.
Tagu.
Siam.
Siam.
Since we're born and we become aware of our existence, we wonder, who am I? What am I? What is my purpose? And these words hold a clue, provide some guidance to these questions. Owa.
Owa.
Tagu.
Siam!
Feel the power and say it with me again faster. Owa! Tagu! Siam! Owa! Tagu! Siam! Owa! Tagu! Siam! Owa! A goose I am! Oh, what a goose I am. What a crazy, honking, foolish, flapping goose I am. Indeed, what silly geese we all are at times as we search for meaning and purpose in our lives. The next time you're stressed out or feeling a little too serious, I invite you to repeat those words or have someone else repeat them. Owa tagu siam. And maybe it'll give you some perspective or at least a good laugh maybe at their expense. And if you're here for the first time, I do feel the need to tell you that this is not necessarily a regular or normal service. Today is April Fool's Day, and as author Wes Nisker says, we live in a world of too much seriousness, and much of our serious behavior is simply ritualized and rationalized nonsense. Thus, we need April Fools and fools in general, such as the Zen master who asks, "Where can I find a man who has forgotten words? I would like to have a word with him." We need madmen such as Lao Tzu, the Buddha, and even Jesus, all challengers to conventional truth, all masters of the foolish, all willing to call us and themselves silly geese. These so-called fools play with us and expand our minds with their folly and their parables. They dismantle our idols of seriousness and certainty. They play with us. Speaking of play, I'm wondering how many of you here have heard of the game Hink Pink? Oh, a couple of you. Good, good. So the way the game works is like this. You think of two words that rhyme. It's a rhyming game. And then you give a clue. So the example I'll start with is fat cat. So it's a hink pink because each word is one syllable. Are you with me on this? Okay. And so the clue you would give then, you'd think of that in your head, and then you'd say an overweight feline. And then, of course, the answer would be fat cat. So if it's two syllables, it's a hinky pinky. And if it's three syllables, it's a hinkity pinkity. And if it's four syllables, you can just make that part up, because I don't know what it is, but it would be something crazy. So here's another one, right? It's a visual clue. It's a hinky pinky, and the clue is a fruit that belongs in a small place of worship. Chapel apple. Yeah, chapel apple. Very good. Very good. Speaking of worship, here's a hink pink, a hymn that goes on and on and on. Long song. You guys are sharp this morning. And I'm glad we're having fun, because sometimes it seems like that we, not just as church, but in our lives, in our work, in our families, we just fall into this place of too much seriousness. But I would argue that we are built for play and for creativity and laughter. And if you're not so sure, think of it this way. The universe, which we are an intimate part of, has been playing for 15 billion years. Ever since the Big Bang, the universe has playfully and magically unfolded galaxies and stars and planets. Ever since our own planet formed about 4 billion years ago, the sun's energy has been playfully turning life and these amino acids into grass and giraffes and dinosaurs and human beings and us. I call this sort of play, this unfolding of the universe, godly play. Because at the heart of things, it seems that there might be a playful, creative, even loving force. Wondering, what can we do now? What new thing can come into being? If you're still not convinced, I'll share this story with you from the Institute for Play. This is a real institute. I'm not making this up. On a late October day, on the Canadian tundra next to the cold but unfrozen Hudson Bay, it looked like a beautiful young husky dog was about to become one dead dog. Hudson, the name of the husky, was comfortably lounging on a fresh bed of snow, tethered on a long chain. Suddenly, out of the white horizon, there lumbered a 1,200-pound male polar bear, a hungry male polar bear. Because, you see, biologists had been tracking the polar bears of the area and recording the movement of this bear and other bears. And they had observed that this particular bear and his companions had not eaten for nearly 4 months because ice had not yet formed on the bay and the bears could not hunt their favorite prey, seals. So as the bear moved toward him, Hudson, who obviously had never been warned about a hungry polar bear, didn't try to flee or bare his teeth or howl in terror. Instead, Hudson wagged his tail. He grinned a doggy grin, and he crouched in that bow. If you're a dog owner, you know this playful bow, signaling to the bear an invitation to play. And to the amazement of the biologists who looked at the photos after this event, it showed that as the bear approached Hudson, he also signaled his intention to play with this characteristic loose walk, playfully inviting gestures he had in his facial expressions. So within seconds, this enormous bear and North America's probably luckiest dog were wrestling and cavorting with one another in the snow in front of cameras who captured the whole thing, and the scientists were amazed. At one point, the bear wrapped himself like a white wool comforter around Hudson in an embrace. And over the next 2 weeks, before the ice froze, the polar bear came back a number of times until he was able to actually get out on the ice and hunt for his favorite meal, a seal meal, a Hank Pink for those of you keeping track. This desire to play and the way it manifests itself here and in our lives and with animals in the world seems to me to be at the heart of things. But you wouldn't guess that from the seriousness of most religions. And thanks in part to our Puritan ancestors, we are no exception to this. The Puritans had a strict work ethic, and in that context, play has many more negative connotations than positive. Clearly, though, this is not the case when we're young, when we're children. But as we age, play becomes something we do after we work or after our to-do lists have been completed. Unless we're around babies, of course, and then we somehow go back to being a baby ourselves, playing peekaboo and can you find me and all of these crazy games. But in many ways, it seems to me organized religion has done a pretty good job of putting the kibosh on fun and play with its threats of hell or dogma. I have a hinkity pinkity. This is three syllables each to honor this dark side of religion. The clue is a scary or frightening clergy person. Sinister minister. So here's what I'm suggesting. These sinister ministers should be charged with the high crime of another Hank Pink, of using the Holy Scriptures in a slanderous way to hurt the reputation of another. Bible libel. Bible libel. Oh, I'm running out of steam with the Hank Pinks. It is the holy fools, the divine madmen, who keep those sinister ministers and the Bible libel at bay, reminding us not to take ourselves too seriously. As author Anne Lamott says, and she is a holy fool in her own right, she reminds us no one says on their deathbed, I wish I would have worked more and harder and stayed at the office late a couple days extra every week. No. People say, I wish I would have spent time with people I love. I wish I would have played more with my friends or my children or with little babies. So if you're feeling stressed and discombobulated in your life, overworked in your own life, play, not more work, might be what recombobulates you. I don't think that's a real word. But speaking of play and the power that play has in our lives as we deal with stressful situations, I want to share this anecdotal story that comes from a summit meeting about 20 years ago from President Ronald Reagan and Prime Minister Gorbachev. The summit wasn't going well, and they had failed to reach an agreement on nuclear disarmament. Despite this, the two had a final breakfast together. He began the meal by telling a bunch of American jokes, which got people laughing. And then Gorbachev started telling Russian jokes, and soon people were laughing. Reagan told the one about an old Russian woman who goes into the Kremlin and gets an audience with Gorbachev and says to him, "In America, anyone can go into the White House, walk up to Reagan's desk, and say, 'I don't like the way you are running the country.'" And then Gorbachev replies to this woman, "You know, you can do the same thing in the Soviet Union. You can go into the Kremlin, walk up to my desk, and say, 'I don't like the way Reagan is running his country.'" So the story goes that these two leaders of the two huge power countries, nations, told jokes and laughed with each other. And no business was discussed at all at this breakfast. But after the breakfast, by mutual consent, they said, "Let's continue the summit. Let's meet some more." And ultimately, they came to an agreement and the disarmament process began. Of course, there are many factors to this, and play is only a small part of it. But I lift that up because it's significant. And what it means, what it can teach us, is that for human beings and for others, play can be a universal training course that builds trust between people. If you feel safe enough to play with another, then over time, trust can be formed. Trust builds intimacy, cooperation, and creativity. This play and this trust building can work between nations, co-workers, spouses, family members, neighbors, or pets. And the thing is about all of this, and actually the not so funny thing, is that we have the work ethic and the war ethic down pat. And maybe what we need, as author Joseph Meeker suggests, is a play ethic. Something that reminds us of the importance of play, that the point of play is to play. In play, everyone can be equal and roles can change instantaneously. Rules are negotiable from minute to minute. And play produces new skills and ideas for the players, and it stimulates their imagination. If you imagine a family game of soccer, maybe an intergenerational family game of soccer, bigger members will slow down. Little ones are given a chance. All sorts of boundaries and rules change on that field in order to play together. A play ethic that encourages mutual playfulness and creativity might help us respond in a whole new way to the failures, challenges, and tough decisions that we encounter in our lives. And surely, with 6 billion people and counting, as we face unprecedented challenges and opportunities in our global community, play is what the world needs most. So I say to the clowns and the pranksters and the jokesters and fools from all over the world, Owa, Tagu, Siam. And I say, bring it on. We're ready for creative play, for godly play, for holy play. Let's play. Amen.
Thank you.
As we leave this place, it's hard to be serious when we have a jester cap on. But as we leave this place to do our work in the world, may we go forth and care for one another. May we go forth and love one another. And may we go forth and play with one another. May it be so. And amen. That was madness. No, I'm going to take it off.